Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Israeli-born, Brooklyn-based jazz drummer and composer Ben Friedkin. We had a long conversation about his new 2022 CD called Trial and Error. This album happens to be the debut outing for this 28-year-old award-winning musician who came to New York 3 years ago to get his master's degree from the Aaron Copland School of Music at Queens College. We dig into his history, COVID survival, and so much more. Enjoy this interview.
Joe Domino.
I'm fine. Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hey, thanks for reaching out. I'm glad you listened to the show.
Yeah, I've been a longtime fan of the show. Yeah, at least 4 years since I listened to an interview with the Mark Juliana on your show.
Okay. Yeah. That was, I remember that interview well. That was kind of on the cusp of all of that David Bowie fame and thing kind of taken off for him. So that was a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Yeah, he's wonderful. I always love, too, when I look back at cats like him that really, I mean, he's really taken off in so many wonderful directions, and he's become kind of a modern elder statesman of jazz, so to speak.
Yeah, Mark is specifically, I remember him pretty much throughout my entire drum journey, because in high school, me and my friends, we all were really into Avishai Cohen's earlier records that Mark is on them. So we were listening to him a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I tell you what, before we get into your album, Trial and Error, you know, the last couple of years have been pretty exhausting for musicians just because the live world was shut down, so much uncertainty. So I'm curious how you survived COVID and how it feels to now have an album come out while the world's opening up, live shows are kicking back in.
Wow, yeah, that's a good topic. To me, the last couple of years, actually, I can split them into two periods. First period, so when COVID hit, I was a master's student in the U.S. I had to, you know, I found myself in my, before COVID, I used to go out every night to see shows, to play in jam sessions. I was also a student. It was a very, very busy and exciting life that I was living here. And when COVID hit, I found myself, as everyone else, just stuck in my apartment. And I couldn't even play the drum. I didn't have any drums there. I couldn't even practice. So actually, you know, so I had all this time that I had to use in some way, and I started transcribing tunes, which I was always scared of this, and I never did this before, and I felt like I'm almost not capable of doing it, but I started like writing down tunes that I love from hearing them, you know, I started making charts for tunes that I like and try to figure out what I like about them. And I made maybe at least 20 of those, which was a big achievement for me. And then after a few months of just being in my room, I left the U.S. I went back to Israel. I was there for a while. And then I came back to the U.S. And that's the second part that I want to talk about of the COVID period. Because so the first part, I was pretty much alone, either in the U.S. or in Israel. I was mostly at home playing some piano, playing some drums, but not really out and about, mostly home. And then when I came back to the U.S. a little more than a year ago in June, it was right before everything started reopening again. And I moved to Brooklyn, which is before COVID, I was living in Queens. So when I came back after COVID, I moved to Brooklyn. And when things started to open, I found myself here living with three other musicians at home. And I found myself like as weeks went by, I was playing more and more shows. I had like started like one gig, then I have two gigs a week, then I have three, then I have four, and I found myself playing all over New York City all the time, which I never thought it would happen and all like this, and it was very, very immediate. So anyway, I feel coming back, I came back right in the right time when everything started to reopen and I was here at a good time to be here. And I found myself super busy and as if, I don't know, as if this break was even good for me in a way. I know it was so terrible for many, many people, for various reasons. But for me, it allowed me this, I don't know, kind of break and then restart that were actually good for me in a way.
Yeah, and I think that for a lot of people, there were silver linings that went into this time of slowing down and reevaluating things. And I'm curious, with Trial and Error coming out, that has to be a wonderful reemergence, a really good way for you to just kind of accentuate coming back out into the world.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's funny about this album because this album is made out of three live concerts that I recorded, in which I was the leader. And actually, the most recent one of them was performed in May or April. I think maybe April 2021. So that means this material, I had it for a while, and it took me, someone just told me, hey, why won't you just make an album out of the things that you already, because I had these things here with me for a while, and I didn't know even that when I played these shows, I didn't know like, oh, I'm recording this to make my own album. It was just, I'm recording it because it's a show, so I might as well record it. And yeah, and anyway, releasing it has been, I feel, very good decision because I'm actually proud of all of the tracks on the album, and I do feel, anyway, I've been receiving very warm feedback, and yeah, so I'm really happy about releasing them.
Yeah. You've been an award-winning drummer. You've been around. Talk to me about your beginnings in jazz. Where were you born and raised, and kind of what? How did the seeds of not only music but jazz become who you are today?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good question. It took some time before I won any award for jazz or drums. So yeah, I can go through that. With you. So before we talk about jazz, I'll tell you that looking back, I think I had a pretty music-full upbringing because my parents are classical music fans, and they used to take me to concerts from a very young age, and I didn't even necessarily appreciate that at the time, but I was exposed to classical music at a very young age, which not many people do. And also, I have memories of like my babysitters putting music for me. I had two different babysitters. One was Russian and the other one was from Moroccan origins, and so they both put very different music for me, but they were putting music and I was exposed to like to these different kinds of music when I was really, really, really young. And then there was a period around age 10 that I started getting a lot into hip hop, me and my friends back then. So, and also I don't know if I'm, yeah, I didn't mention, but my parents had me playing classical piano from age 6. So I had all these different kinds of music around me all the time. It was not a big deal, it was just around. And I remember in second grade, the people from the conservatory next to my neighborhood, they came to our school to showcase all the instruments, and I knew that the drums, I think the drummer's name was Ben, like my name, the drummer who came to show us the drums. And like love in first sight. But because we lived in an apartment, my parents and I, Then my mom said, you know, we cannot even fit it here and it will make so much noise. So I kind of understood that, like, okay, drums, I cannot do it. And then fast forward a few years later, when I was 14, I went to the music shop to get me a guitar, but just for decoration, because I saw it on a friend's wall and I was like, wow, this is a nice thing to have on your wall. But when I entered the drum store, when I entered the music store, I was like, okay, let's go to the drum section first, because, you know, drums is my favorite. And then I discovered a thing that I didn't know existed, which was electronic drums. So that's just basically a few pieces of plastic that you can hit, that you can hit. And with headphones, you hear it as real drums, but your neighbors and your housemates, they just hear you playing on plastic and it's not really loud. So my parents agreed to get me that, and I started drum lessons. And so that's how I became a drummer. And about jazz, so a year later, I was accepted to the jazz program in my high school, even though I didn't know to play. I was very much a beginner on the drums. But I think maybe either they saw potential in me or they just needed more students. So I was accepted. And that's how I first came in touch with jazz. And it was not as strict, like some programs are, you know, they tell students what to listen to or like what's good and bad, you know, and in my program, it was quite the opposite, but they did take us to concerts once a month. It was obligatory to go to a concert once a month. And we actually saw some of Israel's best jazz musicians for free once a month with our program at high school. So, for example, I remember a concert by a saxophonist named Daniel Zamir that Mark Juliana actually played on a couple of his albums, I think. Mark was not playing at that concert, but that concert just blew my mind, and I really remember it as a strong this is a very influential moment. I went home and I couldn't stop. Like, I was drumming on my pad all night trying to emulate what I was seeing. So anyway, that's how I was exposed to jazz. And it was only at age 21 that I decided to go for it full time. I just couldn't let it go, because it took time. When I was in high school, I was doing a bunch of other things, and jazz and music was pretty much a hobby. And when I had to decide, when it was time to make some decisions, I just couldn't let it go. And I was accepted to the Jazz Institute, which is kind of a like prestigious program to study jazz in Israel. And from that on, I just fully immersed myself and fell in love even more with music and with jazz. And then it led to where I am now, to New York City.
So did you always have a dream of getting to America? Was that always on your radar?
Actually, no. And funny that you mentioned, I had this conversation maybe a week ago with my roommate, because some people in some of the programs in Israel, in high school, even they already talk about New York, and they already set your mind like you need to go to New York. That's what everything happens. But for me, you know, I admire many of the drummers and even, I don't know, celebrity. Many, many people that I know about and admire are from the U.S. So, and, you know, we are exposed to the movies and TV shows. So I'm sure, so the U.S. was always on my mind in a way, but I didn't know that I really wanna, New York City was not on my mind per se until I was about 24 or 23, 24, I was studying in the Jerusalem Academy of Music. That's where I finished my my undergrad. And I had a very like influential drum teacher. His name is Yaki Levy. He's a gem, of Jerusalem. And he was, and he like put this idea in my mind, like, you need to go to New York. That's where, you know, that's where it all happens. That's where it's from, the music. That's where you need to be. And I, you know, and here I am. Here I am.
So,
yeah.
What is it that you look forward to the most, being a professional musician? You know, you obviously get to create music, but what is it about this process that you love and embrace the most?
It's a good question. There's the aspect of, there are a few aspects to it. There are a few, sometimes I, yeah, let's see. So sometimes I hear something that I wanna, maybe I hear even someone else play something, and I, and it like ignites this fire in me that I want to play it too, or I want to figure out what they are doing. I want to experience this too. So then I try, so then, you know, I go to my instrument, I try to recreate, I guess, what I was exposed to. Like with this concert I was telling you about, sometimes I come like I'm almost drunk. Like I hear something and I'm like, wow, it's so fantastic, and I wanna play it too. So sometimes, I mean, in the earlier days it was just playing it by myself, but now sometimes it's like I wanna try to do that on the stage with other people. And another aspect is, I was always drawn to virtuosity in a way. Like, I was a big fan of Dennis Chambers for years. I still am, but like for years he was my number one idol. And Dennis is like such a virtuoso. And I always wanted to, something about like this command of the instrument, and I cannot even explain, but it gives me, I always strive for that. So I always want to be more, I want to be one with my instrument and be able to express my ideas and like seamlessly. And I guess another aspect is the social one. I've met so many people recently through, I mean, not just recently, but especially recently, I met so many people through music, and it keeps life interesting and inspiring, and I learn about myself even with every new person I meet. So all these aspects are things that I want them to continue.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, being in New York, you obviously get everybody on the planet possible coming through and playing music. Who is someone on your radar that you would love to see perform live that you haven't seen?
Let's see. Okay, I must tell you that the pianist Vijay Iyer has been on my radar for a few years. I have seen him already, so it's not exactly an answer to what you're asking, but every time I see him, I just want to see him more the next time. I really like his music and his bands and his journey. I listen to all of his albums. I really admire this artist, and he's here. He's playing here every now and then, so that's good for me. But let's see, if I need to say something, someone who's not... Well, so one of my favorite drummers is Damion Reed. He plays on Robert Glasper's first albums, and he plays with Steve Lehman, who's a sax player. And Damion Reed lives in California. So, and I saw Damion 3 years ago, and it totally blew my mind. Like, he has such a unique, it's so inspiring because he does things his own way. I think he also mentioned it in interviews. Like, Damion has his own way of doing things, and some people might like it, some people might not like it, but he's sticking to his truth, which is very inspiring. And you can see it. It's very clear when you see him that he has, It's about everything, about the way he tunes his drums, and about the cymbals, and about the way he sits and the way he holds the sticks. So anyway, Damion Reed is someone who doesn't live here now, but I am always like on the lookout for when he's coming to town. And actually, yeah, there are many others, but I don't know if it can take forever for me to list everyone. So maybe I'll
keep. No, that's great. I actually caught VJ Iyer here in Kansas City probably pre-pandemic. It was around 19, and it was a wonderful show.
Mm. With Tayshaun Sorry and Linda
No,
O?
No, he was here for a festival, kind of a celebration that we were having here in town. So he, I think he was collaborating with some local musicians here. So it was cool. Yeah.
Nice.
But I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, everyone has a version of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your
mm-hmm.
fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of you. Who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's I ask myself in the mirror every day. Who are you?
Yeah.
It's a good question. Yeah, how about that? We will talk we will talk again in the future, and I'll think about it until then.
It's all good. So in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
where can people pick up Trial and Error? Where can they find out more about you, live shows, anything related to your world?
So Trial and Error is available everywhere that you can possibly imagine. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on YouTube. I even have a few hard copies in case anyone wants, they can reach out to me. But it's available online everywhere. And they want to learn more about me. So by the end of this year, I will have a website with many, many projects that I've took part in and my bio and everything. But for now, the best place to follow me is on Instagram, where I always update about my show and my life. And also, if you just write my name online, there you can read about me in various websites. Yeah. So that's the
right
answer.
Right on, man. Right on. Ben, thanks for reaching out to the show. It's wonderful to have you on. Good luck with the album and everything as we move forward into this brave new world.
Thank you very much. I'll just mention one last thing, that the piece Nardis from my album won me the award. That's why I'm an award-winning drummer, because of that piece. And so I encourage you to check it out.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Israel, Brooklyn, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Ben for reaching out to the show. First time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Maria Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist, that Something Came from Baltimore, and be a part of that Be More Music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Kaufman, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith, Thumbscrew.
Neon Jazz.